For sure, whenever soldiers in Long Island area, we definitely listen to WUSB 90.1 FM. And if we do it, so can you.
And it is radio station WUSB Stony Brook, where it's 6 o'clock time once again for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And I'm overcome. I'm overwhelmed with disgust. I really am. And a whole lot of frustration. And there are a number of reasons for this. I could go on for hours. But the one I'm going to select tonight is the weather. Yeah, the weather has been absolutely appalling and disgusting. And I know many of you listening in various parts of the country are nodding your head in agreement, but you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You've had weather. You've had things happen. Right now, as I speak, I was looking over the weather forecast. That's why the music played for an extended period. And I was baffled. I was shocked. I almost was not able to speak because of all that. There are ice storm warnings in such places as Alabama, Louisiana, Texas. Ice on the ground. People slipping, falling down. And we all remember the dramatic storms of the Pacific Northwest not too long ago. Denver keeps getting socked by all sorts of blizzards. In the Midwest, more ice and snow and wind and cold temperatures. That was over the last few days. And now that storm has moved to the Northeast. And people are talking about, hey, yeah, it's hit the Northeast. Well, guess what? It missed us. It hit New England. We're right below New England. So you've got chaos to the Southeast, to the Northwest. Out in the far West, California, things are always burning down. You've got that. You've got the Midwest, New England. And New York is experiencing the warmest winter ever. No snow, no nothing. It's like we're in this harbor of safeness that really is a horrible place to be. And I just wonder, how long are we going to have to put up with this? I want some of this. I want the ice, I want the wind, I want the snow, I want the coldness. Apparently cold temperatures are starting now, finally. So maybe it'll be a little chilly, but you know, that's not enough, okay? It's supposed to be chilly. It's winter. I want something a bit more dramatic, all right? I don't know who to write to. I don't know who to call. But better get your asses in gear because time is running out. Ugh, disgusting. It really is. What's going on? Everyone's having fun. We don't get anything. So, yeah, I'm a bit perturbed by that. We're also here at the station crippled by the fact that one of our CD players... This is great. This is classic. Usually we have two CD players. In fact, we still do. Just one of them has a big note on it saying, attention, my Holly Cole CD is stuck in CD number two, and that's why it's not closed or turned on. So there's a CD in the back. This is really... Imagine this, the CD tray is stuck out, and behind that, somewhere in the inner mechanisms of this machine, is a Holly Cole CD just sitting there, not doing anything. But it's preventing the CD player from closing and playing anything. So we have to sort of, if you've listened to music shows over the past couple of days, it's been kind of a challenge, because I guess there's no such thing as a segue anymore. We have to burn our segues beforehand onto another CD and just play that and sit back. So, yeah, that's kind of frustrating. I don't use much music on the program, but I do use enough where I'm going to have to shuffle. I'm using one right now. This is music from a CD. Yeah, I bet you thought it was just magic. No, that's a CD. I can stop it. See? I can start it. And I probably do other things to it as well, but I'm not going to. All right, so a lot of dramatic things going on in the news this week. I'd like to try and cover them all. I'd like to also take some phone calls later on. Full hour this week. No intrusions. Got the door locked so no one can get in. We'll have a whole hour to ourselves. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. We'll be taking calls a little bit later. Don't call now. If you call now, it's just going to ring forever and eventually transfer someplace you don't want to go. All right, if anything... has been nailed into our heads over the past several weeks, it's that this country has a real problem with knowing where people are. That seems to be the real theme of the season. Remember back a couple of months ago, we had the situation of the family getting lost in the mountains, and nobody knew where they were. Eventually... They were found, but it was too late for the father, who had already hiked trying to find help on his own and was unsuccessful, and that led to his death. Then we had the case of the hikers on the mountain, one of them had made a cell phone call, and all this effort was spent trying to find them, and only one of them was found, not alive. The other two have never been found. Recently, there was a case of a woman who was in New Mexico. This is great. She was hiking in New Mexico and was given up for lost weeks ago. I didn't even know about this case. For some reason, this didn't make the newspapers. But this woman had gone out on her own in December for some kind of hike. I don't understand that. Going out on your own. I mean, I understand that, but going out on your own in a place where there's nobody around and nobody knows where you are, and if you get in trouble, there's no way you can contact them, just seems to me a little bit asking for trouble. And trouble certainly arrived. She wound up on the wrong side of a flooded river, I believe. And it was just over the weekend that a couple of other hikers discovered her. And she was alive. She was alive, not in a very good physical condition, because she hadn't had food for a couple of weeks, but you can survive for a while. But they were actually, they had to wait. They had to hike themselves another day and a half to get help. They had to leave her there and then send the helicopter back and find her and bring her back. But that was incredible. They had given up, and she was still there. But nobody knew where she was. That was the theme with all these cases. We knew they were out there someplace, we just didn't know where. There was no way to find them. And now you've got this unbelievable story out of Missouri. Well, we all heard about this, right? Where the two kids were found in this guy's apartment, one of which had been kidnapped on Monday. I believe they were found on Thursday. The other, 4 years ago, more than 4 years ago. And all that time, living in plain sight. Only about maybe 80 miles, 70 miles from his home in the first place. All sorts of posters and milk cartons were put up. Everybody was searching. And they didn't know. They couldn't find him, even though he was right there. So clearly, what this says to me is that we spend a lot of time dealing with security issues. We spend a lot of time looking over our shoulders and second-guessing each other, reporting our neighbors, reporting our parents, reporting our children. Basically not trusting anybody. And the only conclusion you can come to after seeing a story like this is that we haven't gone far enough. Obviously, we haven't gone far enough. Look, everybody saw that kid there, and nobody knew he was not the son of the person he was living with, that he was actually somebody else's son. So what we need to do, and what I think we should start doing right now, is questioning everybody. Everybody. You have a next-door neighbor? They have children? Prove it. Shouldn't be too hard. Knock on their door. I'm serious. After this program is finished, turn off the radio, go outside your house, go to your next-door neighbor, knock on their door, ask for documentation. Are these kids really yours? Come on, there must be paperwork. It should be fairly handy. And don't stop there. Don't stop there. Learn your neighbor's layout of their building, of their house. See if there's a hidden room someplace. See what's hidden up in the attic. Look in the basement. Go into the closets of the master bedroom. It's unbelievable the kinds of things you can hide. You can hide kids. You can hide people of all sorts. Maybe kidnap pets even. It's clear that we don't know enough about what's going on around us. We need to probe deeper. Now, you may be a child. You may be a child listening. Are you sure the people you're living with are actually your parents? Ask them. Ask them to prove it. Ask them to show you the paperwork that proves that you belong to them and not somebody else, some other place where they might be looking for you. Shouldn't be too hard unless you have something to hide. And if you're a parent who finds themselves with a child, are you certain that's your child? Are you sure? Some of them look awfully similar. You could swap them out at school or something like that, or maybe even in the nursery. It's always good to double-check your records. Just look into it. Ask questions. Know all the people around you. We're not doing enough. We're not doing enough. There's people walking around that should be walking around someplace else, and apparently we just haven't been poking our noses in nearly as much. But what a story. I mean, really. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being away for 4 years and then suddenly coming back? And especially the formative years between the ages of 11 and 15. I can't even conceive of what that must be like. You're seeing all these people that you haven't seen in so many years. And of course, the question remains: this kid was only an hour away by car. How come he didn't try and contact them? He was on the internet. This kid was on the internet. He came and went as he pleased, apparently, according to the witnesses. For some reason, he didn't contact them. And there's all sorts of reasons why this could be. It could be things like brainwashing, Stockholm Syndrome, all sorts of weird things that happen when you're abducted by total strangers. It's a fascinating story. Most interesting story I've seen in a while. But yeah, really, we have to do more. We have to look into why we don't know what's going on around us. Clearly, all this Homeland Security nonsense is not working. If something like this could happen with all the notices and bulletins going on around us, if you can't see somebody who's right in front of you, I think it just shows how pointless it all is. All right, so we have that, and the other big news, of course, is Jack Bauer is back in our lives. Yes, 24 has begun again. And oh boy, they really they took off running on this one with all sorts of fun adventure type things. It starts off with our hero. In case you don't know, this is the guy who saves the world in 24 hours once a year with a series of incredibly ridiculous storylines. He at the end of last season, he was taken away by the Chinese because he had killed one of their diplomats, and they wish to talk to him about that some more. And the beginning of this season, he's been released by the Chinese because the Americans paid a high price to get him back. And the reason they paid a high price to get him back is because a terrorist who is targeting our cities, 12 terrorist attacks, I think, in a week or something like that, has demanded to get Jack Bauer if they want the terrorist attacks to stop. And, of course, the government has no choice but to comply. And the terrorist would like to torture Jack Bauer because he did something bad to a member of his family in the past. And it's just incredibly ludicrous plots and storylines that just are not to be believed. But, of course, when he comes back from China, he's all messed up. Got all sorts of scars on him. He's been tortured. I just wonder, what do the Chinese think about this? You get sent to a Chinese prison, and it's just assumed you're going to be tortured. And yet, they remain most favored nation status in trade, and are staunch allies and various things like that. But yet, this is how we think of them. It may be true. Who knows? But just a couple of things off the top of my head that got me about this. They've aired 4 hours of it so far: 2 hours on Sunday, 2 hours on Monday. And I like the ending. I like the ending last night. Okay, I'm gonna ruin it. I'm gonna ruin it if you have not seen it, so you might want to turn away for a minute or so. Yeah, at the end they wind up nuking an American city. Wow, that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. They actually finally did something that is bigger than anything they've done before. But you also have to look at reality. You see all these headlines, all these horrible things going on in all these different cities. Car bombs in New York, and buses blowing up in San Antonio. Various other. I might be getting the actual facts wrong, but there are so many different things going on in different cities on a daily basis. And I think we're sort of buying into, yeah, this is what we're facing. This is what's going on. When in actuality, nothing of the sort is going on. And I think we have to ask ourselves why that is, because it's not difficult. If you can hide a kid who's being searched for by everybody in plain sight right in front of them and get away with that for 4 years, it shouldn't be too hard to blow up a car in the middle of a crowded shopping mall. But it's not happening. It's not happening. But we're acting as if it is. We're acting as if the show 24 is reality. And it's interesting entertainment. I'm not saying don't air something like that. I'm just saying put it in perspective. This is fiction. This is not really happening. And some of it is so bizarre that you could call it fiction fantasy, science fiction, all sorts of weird things. That's the way they get around so quickly. The program is based on the premises. It's in real time. But people show up on the other side of town in 5 minutes. It's unbelievable. And they have these fake newscasts, and they announced after this yet another terrorist attack, like the 13th one, that the country has now gone to condition red. You know, the Homeland Security colors nobody talks about anymore. Now it's condition red. Do you honestly think that with our state of paranoia, the way we are reacting to everything, that we'd wait a couple of weeks and until the 13th terrorist attack to say, okay, yeah, let's go to condition red now? We'd go to condition red in a heartbeat. If just once, just something happened. I think there were people in Homeland Security waiting, wanting something to happen, wondering why, what are we doing? They have to attack at some point, and then we can go to condition red. It looks so nice and bright. And then you got the crazy things. For instance, there was an Arab guy trying to get on a bus, and the bus driver wouldn't let him on because he was Arab and therefore suspicious. And of course, the irony was that there was already a terrorist on the bus, and the bus blew up without the Arab guy on it. Then you have the Arab guy in a house who is being taken away by the FBI, and an angry mob, a small angry mob, converges on his house, and the guy, the son who's left behind, is protected by this nice, normal American family. And, of course, he turns out to be a terrorist. And winds up holding the family hostage, the poor, misguided family, who believes that Arab people should be protected. Well, they're certainly wrong, aren't they? You have this other case where this woman who just happens to be the president's sister is working in a building with lots of Arab Americans, and the FBI comes and demands to see their databases without a search warrant. So you have a hint that, you know, some people are stepping over the process. They're stepping over the checks and balances of our legal system. And that's seen as a bad thing, but the people fighting this are seen as misguided, because when they finally do come back with a search warrant, this poor woman deletes the database in direct violation of what the warrant says, and she and a friend are sent to prison as a result. The friend, who is completely innocent in this but has a foreign accent, is put into a detention center, where he's immediately beaten up by guards. So you have this situation where, wow, this is really bad. This guy's civil rights are definitely being attacked here. This is horrible. This must be stopped. But what happens? When he's inside the prison, he just happens to overhear a conversation between a couple of Arab guys planning a terrorist attack. And at the end of the episode, when the woman is trying to get him released, he's begging her not to. He admonishes her for always acting like a lawyer and saying that it's very important that he stay in this detention center so he can help the government. So basically, people who are swept off the streets for no reason at all and put into detention camps are suddenly turned into patriotic Americans who will gladly stay in those detention camps so they can help find terrorists. It's the most crazy plot. But It's TV, you know? We have to remember that. It's not real life. You have things like the terrorist who has taken Jack Bauer and is about to kill him, explaining everything to him and then being called away for a telephone call right before he kills him. So, of course, that's when Jack escapes and is able to tell the rest of the world what's going on. Not that the rest of the world believes him, because after however many times he saved the world, he's still seen as a loose cannon and somebody that can't be trusted. I wouldn't trust him, to be honest. I mean, he's been through all sorts of traumatic experiences. No human could survive that. And you have other things like the helicopters attacking rockets in suburban America. I mean, helicopters attacking houses with rockets in suburban America. Yes, that's it. Because it's rumored that terrorists are inside there. At what point did the military get the right to attack houses in America? That's not really gone into. But it's something that we might believe because we saw it on TV. Kind of weird, kind of scary. Okay, so let's go to the real world, though. Get away from TV for a little while. It's just fun to see these things happen. Okay. The new plan is out, the new plan for Iraq, and it's about as bad as we all thought it was going to be. And despite the opposition by members of Congress and a lot of members of the public, Bush says we will send more troops to Iraq and there's nothing you can do about it. I fully understand they could try to stop me from doing it, but I've made my decision and we're going forward, Bush says. Vice President Cheney asserted that lawmakers' criticism will not influence Bush's plans. And he dismissed any effort to run a war by committee. The president is the commander-in-chief. He's the one who has to make these tough decisions. The Congress, they're the ones who signed away their rights to do their job. Now they're paying the price. Now we're all paying the price. But this shows you, he doesn't care. He doesn't care what anybody else thinks. Which should make it a lot easier to hold him accountable. And to hold everybody in this administration accountable. Does Congress have the guts to do that? Not at the moment they don't. The White House said on Sunday it is not planning military action against Iran, but refused to rule out that possibility. And I have to wonder, you know, the exit strategy of Iraq, could that be exiting into Iran? I mean, they do sort of border each other. So all the soldiers could just be transferred over from one country to the next. It just keeps getting more and more combative out there. And this guy's not listening to anybody in our country, not listening to anybody in the world arena. But in somewhat conflicting style, he's open to alternatives. President Bush Saturday challenged lawmakers skeptical of his new Iraq plan to propose their own strategy for stopping the violence in Baghdad. To oppose everything while proposing nothing is irresponsible, he said. I don't know where he's been. People have been proposing all sorts of things. He's not listening. By his own admission, he's not listening. We're going ahead no matter what. I don't care what people say. If you don't have a suggestion, it's not constructive. We have suggestions, lots of suggestions. The people have suggestions. Members of Congress have suggestions. You don't like the suggestions, and that's why you're not listening. You've got your hands over your ears. And that's why we're moving forward into what's going to be another disaster. 20,000 more troops being sent over, more people killed, and no end in sight. At least, let's hold them accountable for this. Think of the number of people who have lost their lives. Think of the number of people who have been maimed, and all the horrible things that have happened as a result. Think of our place in the world, how it's slipped to as low as it's ever been. Think of the new enemies we have now that we did not have 10 years ago. Think of how the rest of the world looks upon us. It's really pathetic if we don't do anything about that. Also, this is disgusting. There are people in the Pentagon who are attacking anybody who dares to represent detainees who are being held at Guantanamo Bay. Senior official suggested that companies boycott law firms that represent detainees in the United States military prison at Guantanamo Bay. The guy's name was Charles Cully Stimson. He was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Detainee Affairs, whole position devoted to this. And it was in a radio interview last week that he said companies might want to consider taking their business to firms that do not represent suspected terrorists. Suspected terrorists. So if you're suspected of a crime, you should not be represented, according to this logic. Now, of course, these aren't American citizens, so anything goes. We can open up prisons any place we feel like and treat these people however we wish and not even identify them. And if anybody dares to try and find out what's going on, they become the enemy as well. Can you believe we're living in times like this? So the Pentagon has, to their credit, disavowed any kind of connection to this. They're not going along with this particular attitude. But the guy still works there. The guy's still part of the Pentagon, still represents our government. Whether or not they officially represent the views of the U.S. Department of Defense. This is good news, all right? I'd like to have some good news. There are parents on Long Island, according to this week's Newsday, who are fed up with military recruiters in malls. And they're taking steps against this kind of thing. Now, let's see. This recruiter was talking to a student over the phone, and he made an appointment to meet at the boy's house without first clearing it with his parents. The father greeted him at the door holding a gun and ordering him to leave. Area recruiters who have worked the job elsewhere said Long Island is an especially tough environment. It's because they're within radio range of this show. They listen. Yeah. They respect the uniform as long as someone else is wearing it, said one of the Army recruiters with an injured sniff. The military has support here. There are to say that the military has support here, implying that people who don't want their kids to join up don't support the military. That's rather not the way it is. There are thriving junior ROTC programs in roughly 10% of Long Island high schools. I'd like to know which ones. And area recruiters say young people here are respectful and often enthusiastic upon learning about military opportunities. You know what else? They're enthusiastic about getting into strangers' cars and going away with them and being brainwashed. Happens all the time. Why ROTC would be allowed near any high school or college is beyond me. And if you have it at your high school, I'd like to hear about it, and maybe we can help get them out of there. Here's an example. Alexandra Martinez of Hicksville, 21 years old, is preparing to leave for Air Force basic training in Texas. I'm more excited than anything, she said. If I can do this, it'll be a huge accomplishment. She finished two semesters at Nassau Community College, but decided college wasn't for her. She wants to become a police officer. The prospect of serving in Iraq didn't deter her. It's part of the job. Someone's got to do it. Well, she's 21. That's great. But we're talking about guys who are approaching high schools, even junior high schools, people in malls. So it's about time people stand up and fight back. Don't allow this kind of thing to happen unremarked. A Mount Vernon recruiter was taped saying, "We're not at war. War ended a long time ago." A Patchogue recruiter told the undercover recruit that serving in Iraq was safer than driving on Long Island. By all means, record these people. Let's hear what they have to say. Let's hear the lies they spread. Just don't sign anything. Here's what one guy does, one recruiter. When he combs the mall. He combs the mall. Just think of child predators here. Combing the mall, watching to make sure no one else is around, and then he approaches. This is by his own admission. Groups of kids will see him coming and run away. Good. Parents will shield their child from talking to him. No crowds, no parents, he says. I try to get them alone. Parents were the most cited obstacle to recruiting in interviews with local recruiters from all four branches, not including the Coast Guard. Those under 18 must get parental consent to test for or sign with the military. This recruiter learned from the incident with the gun. Now when he calls to set up an appointment with a potential recruit, he's careful to tell the parent he's not coming down to sign anything. He's coming to check on opportunities and then to sign something. The aggressiveness of one recruiter angered Long Beach resident Marty Rinald DiPaolo. Her 16-year-old son attended a college fair at Long Beach High School 2 months ago
and announced he was joining the army, 16 years old. He never, ever had any inclination for the military, she said. This had him sucked in so quickly. He said he could play saxophone for the army band and perform for the president, never seeing combat. Yeah, after, this is what the recruiter tells people. After discussing pros and cons with her son, she said he decided it wasn't for him, but the recruiter kept calling, and, she said, got angry over the decision. They're trying to get 16-year-olds who don't even know who they are yet. They bank on the fact these are young people with stars in their eyes. At its recruiting office in Hicksville on a recent Friday night, the Air Force invited half a dozen kids to witness reality, Air Force style, playing a game called Air Force versus Civilian Life. The kids pretend to be Air Force cadets, while other kids pretend they're working at Burger King. The goal is to see who ends up with the most money after a month. I don't think there's a part of that game that says who ends up with the most limbs after a month. Anyway, in this game, the Air Force always wins when expenses are tallied. The recruits have taken college courses, gotten free meals and rent, and have saved $600. The civilians are broke and unable to pay for college. The recruiter says a lot of people think they can handle it when they come out of school and find they can't. You got to be careful. You got to watch out what these people tell you because, yeah, life is difficult. Life is hard. When you get out of school, there might not be immediate options. It might not be obvious to you. So this may seem like a bit of a comfort, and that's what they're banking on, is that you'll be desperate enough to do this. But ask yourself, what's in it for them? What are they getting out of it? They're getting more fodder for whatever adventures they're embarking upon, and they don't really care about you at all. And for those of you who do find yourself trapped in such a situation, I discovered something else which might be of help. A surefire way to get out. An Air Force staff sergeant who posed nude for Playboy magazine has been relieved of her duties while the military investigates. Need I say more? This staff sergeant's alleged action does not meet the high standards we expect of our airmen, nor does it comply with the Air Force's core values of integrity, service before self, and excellence in all we do. That's according to Oscar Baladares, spokesman for Lackland Air Force Base. You will not find him in an issue of Playgirl. And if you do, he'll be relieved of his duties as well. I think magazines should be founded just so that they can publish pictures of people who wish to get out of the military for whatever reason. And then they can be told that they don't meet the high standards required to be shot into pieces in Iraq. And then they're sent home. I think a lot of them could live with that. Okay, that's our little look at the military. It's really disgusting. I wish I was still in high school so I could do really bad things. Really yell at these people and chase them away. Throughout your high school, really, you've got a problem because they are going to lure a lot of people in. Okay, phone call 631-632-9872, 631-632 WUSB. A couple other items, and we'll go to the phones. If there are a few calls, not just this one call, because there's that nut out there just going to say 9/11 is an inside job and hang up, and then we don't have any more calls. So please, let's get a lot of calls. 631-632 WUSB. A pizza chain has been hit with death threats and hate mail after, get this, offering to accept Mexican pesos. This is the United States of America, not the United States of Mexico, said one email. Quit catering to the damn illegal Mexicans. Dallas-based Pizza Patron said it was not trying to inject itself into a larger political debate after about illegal immigration when it posted signs this week saying, accept Temos Pesos, or we accept pesos, at its 59 stores across Texas, Colorado, Arizona, Nevada, and California. Pizza Patreon spokesman Andy Gam said the company was just trying to sell more pizza to its customers. And they're not the only ones. Walmart, HEB supermarkets, other American businesses and towns along the Mexican border also accept pesos. And it's not that big a deal. Companies in New York and Minnesota, they accept Canadian dollars. They don't get death threats and hate mail. If people would understand that the majority of our customers are Hispanic, then it might make more sense for a company to sell pizza for pesos. It doesn't make sense in Connecticut. It doesn't make sense in North Dakota or Maine. But it makes perfect sense here in Dallas and Phoenix or in Denver, areas far from the border that have significant Hispanic populations. Unbelievable how people react about these things. How we've been whipped into this furor against Mexicans. So yeah, death threats for accepting pesos. And what else? People have been offended by all sorts of things. This is something that is rather amusing. Complaints from the Chinese embassy in Moscow forced an advertising agency to scrap a chewing gum commercial playing on Russian television, which featured China's national anthem as backing music. Yeah. Oh, there it is. There it is. China's People's Daily newspaper said the commercial for chewing gum, produced by William Wrigley Jr. Company, used the March of the Volunteers and has harmed the dignity of China. The advertising subsidiary said it was a monstrous misunderstanding and took it away. I guess I'm speaking over it now, and maybe I'm making fun of them. I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry, China. You know what? You tortured Jack Bauer, you get what you deserve. I'm going to talk over your damn national anthem. What do you think about that? Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it. You're in your damn year of the pig. Hey, it's Chinese New Year coming up soon. You have to do something special. Oh, wait, words are coming up. Can't talk over the words. That would be wrong. You know what, I am going to speak over the words, because, well, it's nationalism either way. It's a nice anthem, I'll give you that. But we have phone calls, a lot of phone calls. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. And good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Hey, man, I just wanted to talk about recruiters real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
They're at my high school, and basically we just take their pencils, and then don't listen to them.
You take their pencils and what?
And we don't really listen to them after that, you know, we kind of walk away.
You steal their pencils, huh?
Well, that's what they give them to us, but...
Oh, okay.
Lanyards and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Do these pencils, do they have phone numbers to call to enlist yourself?
No, they don't, actually. They just have the name of the branch, and then that's it.
Really? And pencils? Who uses pencils these days?
I don't know. I guess, like, kids that always lose their mechanical pencils, really, but...
Uh-huh. Now, where are you located? What state?
Down in Delaware.
Delaware. So, now, they're actually in your school?
Yeah, in high school, yep. They kind of crowd around the lunchrooms.
Uh-huh.
If you go in or out, you have to, like, go buy them.
That's unbelievable. They actually let them in. Now, your high school, how many grades are in the high school?
We have four.
So, ninth grade. We're talking ninth grade can actually come in contact with these people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And how old are you in ninth grade? You're, like, 12 or 13 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
So, it definitely does have an effect. Now, is there any kind of opposition to this?
Not that I know of. No, it's pretty much just...
Even today, after all that's been going on, that's incredible to believe. Well, you haven't been tempted, have you?
No, not really. Not by them.
Okay.
I actually got insulted by one of the Marine recruiters.
You got insulted by one of the Marine recruiters?
Yeah.
How so?
I walked by and he was trying to talk to me, and I was like, I'm not really interested. And then he was like, well, the Marines aren't for everybody. And I was like, no, not for me.
Okay. We're going to try to come up with a good list of comebacks, the things that you can say to get them all upset. Because there's nothing they can do about it if you do insult them.
I had a story for you, too.
What's that?
I had a quick FBI story for you, too.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, you know, like, the FBI is trying to monitor 2600.
They're trying to monitor 2600?
Yeah, you know, they come to meetings and stuff.
Well, yeah, we do have meetings in open spaces, so we assume they come to the meetings.
Yeah, well, I tried to take a picture of the Edgar Hoover building, and they won't let me take the picture.
Of the building?
Yeah, they treated me like a terrorist.
No, wait a minute.
Walk away now.
You're standing in the street in Washington, D.C. Wait, where is this?
Yeah, Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C., and you want to take a picture of a building, and they're saying you can't take a picture of a building.
Yeah, like the lady at the booth wouldn't let me do it, and I walked around the corner and tried to take a picture, and the guy came out of the building and was like, no, you can't take a picture.
Where were you standing when you did this?
I was, like, across the street.
You were across the street, and they wouldn't let you take a picture of the building.
Yeah, they came outside and were like, hey, don't do that.
This is unbelievable. I'm going down to D.C., and I'm going to take a picture of that building. And I mean, I could understand if you were on their property, maybe, even though it's a government building, but to be across the street told you can't take a picture of a building, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and, like, I was trying to ask them some questions, because mm-hmm. I was interested, because like, X-Files, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, who's on the top of the building? And they were like, nobody. I'm like, what do you mean, nobody? There's, like, lights on, there's all this stuff up there.
Uh-huh.
I was like, don't be a smartass.
No, for heaven forbid you be a smartass. Rather you go into the Marines and get yourself killed, but don't be a smartass.
And I just want to say you have a great magazine and a great radio show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for calling. And keep out of trouble there.
All right.
That's what we need. More people who think for themselves. Yeah, they might cause a little trouble. They might ask a few embarrassing questions. But it's a whole lot better to have them here than to send them away for all sorts of other nefarious purposes. Okay, let's take another call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. How do I get a dial tone? This system doesn't even give you dial tones. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
How
my name's Dave. I'm from East Setauket.
Okay, you're pretty close by then.
Yeah, I was calling about two local kids that got recruited by the Navy, told they were going to join the SEALs.
Uh-huh.
And neither one of them, of course, ended up in the SEALs. One ended up in a life of depravity. Actually, son of our local school board president, and another one, a sous chef at one of the best local restaurants here, who he signed up about 7 months ago, 6 months ago, and just had to fulfill his commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And a comment about taking a picture of the FBI building. I was just down in D.C. myself at the Spy Museum.
Okay.
About a block away.
Yeah.
I got a picture of it.
Okay.
Nobody came out and got me.
You know, it might be they only go after certain people that they think they can intimidate.
You know, that I think that's a lot of it.
Uh-huh. I mean, do you look like you can't be intimidated? Maybe they didn't want to mess with you.
Well, I'm just an average fellow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that has that much to do with it. What I'm more concerned about is the lying of the draft boards for the kids, where they say, okay, we're going to give you this, that, or the other thing. Now, it's stupid to be signing up for this kind of crap to begin with,
mm-hmm.
but they're lying to the kids left and right, and the kids think they're going to go in and become the next Jack Bauer.
Yeah.
And they're not. They're going to end up just doing whatever. But, I mean, these two kids that I know, local kids, signed up by the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to become SEALs. You know, the elite of the commando forces. And, you know, I said, well, read the small print. They can put you wherever they want.
Yeah, and they will.
And they do.
I think what a lot of these kids should do is visit the Veterans Hospital, talk to some of the people who actually have gone through this, and see their perspective. And maybe, you know, maybe some of them will think it's worthwhile. Maybe some of them will have some other words that the recruiters don't want you to hear.
Yeah.
But that's the best way to get all sides, I think.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for your call.
Okay. Hey, keep the good work. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Take care. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Emmanuel. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Rob here.
Rob, how you doing?
A couple of quick things. There's a discarded payphone in the basement of the Stoller Center.
Oh, okay. Is this an open call for anybody who wants a payphone lying on the ground?
Well, I guess I just wanted to put it out there. It's totally intact, and, you know, it's got the little booth attached to it, but...
Not the old-fashioned phone booth that you could walk inside.
Oh, no, just a little, like, ledge type.
Yeah. It's a regular Verizon, Bell Atlantic, 9X. How old is this thing?
Looks like it's about a few years old. It says Verizon on it.
Okay, so it's fairly recent. You know, they might still be coming for that.
Oh, yeah, I tried to call the number when I got home from my cell phone. It just kept ringing.
Oh, it's still connected?
No, I'm guessing that the line is still active.
Okay. Well, usually payphones don't accept incoming calls. At least in New York, they don't.
Oh.
So I don't know. It shouldn't ring at all. But that's interesting. I don't advise people. First of all, they're very heavy. I don't advise people walking out with a payphone. But they are pretty cool to have.
Yeah, the line, there's no line attached to it in the back, but for some reason it still rings when you call it. But obviously,
boy, that's the other thing that bothered me about 24 last night. At one point, one of the people who was doing something for a terrorist just happened to be able to call from a payphone. They were able to find a payphone in the middle of nowhere. That wasn't a problem. And then they got a call back on the payphone. Payphones don't ring. They used to, but they don't anymore.
Well, at one point, I had used that old technique of you dial 660 and then hang it up for a second and dial the last four digits. And I had all the payphones in the Stony Brook campus library going on all at once by the restrooms.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think we've played the same games because I was involved with some people that did things like that, too. In fact, I think the instead of 660, I think it was 230 and 250 followed by the last four digits. You'd flash a switch hook, hang up, and then they'd ring.
Right, right.
And it caused no end of confusion when people tried to pick them up, then they'd hang up, then they'd ring again because you flash a switch hook again.
It doesn't work. I tried it a couple of years ago. I think it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, all the fun has been taken out of payphones.
Oh, I'm the guy who brought you the brain damage tapes. And
you... Oh, I need to send those back to you.
Yeah, it's some big deal. Actually, those are copies. You can keep them or do whatever you want, but... you mentioned that you're putting a CD together with all the episodes.
Yeah, what we're going to be doing, first of all, the episodes you supplied us with, we're going to be putting them up fairly soon. And then a project for later this year is high-fidelity versions of Brain Damage. So we'll be making those available for people that really are into Brain Damage. And, of course, we'll send you a complimentary set.
Excellent. I mean, all the episodes can fit on one disc?
Oh, no.
Several discs?
No, it's going to take a few discs, but they'll sound at least as good as they did when they went over the radio, or at least as good as the tape recorder that picked them up.
Oh, okay. Did that guy, Jim, ever bring you in or call you back?
Oh, no, someone else called in, and no, I didn't hear from him. So, yeah, if you're out there, if anybody else is out there with recordings of Brain Damage, the show that was on from the late 80s to the early 90s here at the station, we want to hear your tapes. We want to copy them and fill in our collection so we can make them available.
Yeah, his name is Jim. I don't want to say his last
name. No, don't say his last name, but you can always email us, otw@2600.com, if you have information that will lead to the recovery of any more tapes.
All right. Keep up the good work.
Okay. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right. See you later.
Take care. An old Brain Damage listener. It's amazing. People are so loyal to this radio station that they stick with us for decades. That's what we want to see more of. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, I was going to say thanks because I actually went to 23C3 this year and it was great.
Oh, the Chaos Communications Congress in Berlin.
Yeah.
Wow, it's the first one I missed in years. So it was good this year.
I assume it was like always 4,300 hackers. It was kind of a bummer because I didn't get in to see many of the talks, but the streams were going.
Uh huh. That's good. That's good. And where are you from normally?
I've lived in the U.S. for 20 years, but I'm originally from Poland. So I also went back to visit relatives, do some sightseeing, all that.
Uh huh. Great. Well, hopefully I'll make it next year. And, of course, there's the German hacker camp coming up, I think, in August, right?
They mentioned something about that. It's just I just took a month off. Unfortunately, can't make it to that one.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, we'll definitely have more information on that. So hopefully that will be the hacker activity of this year. But it's good to know that it went okay over in Berlin.
Yeah, it's no problems for an English speaker. Wound up hanging out with a bunch of Swiss and Austrian Gen 2 hackers and learned all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. You meet all sorts of people at these things.
Yeah. And the fact that I was surprised that it was a little over 30% female.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the demographics have certainly changed in the hacker community over the decades. So, yeah, you're seeing a whole lot more variety of people, and it's gotten a lot more interesting.
But I don't think that's true in the U.S. that much.
It depends where you go. But at our conferences, we find that that's holding true. So hopefully it'll continue. And hopefully our conferences will continue. I don't know if you heard about this. They want to tear down the Hotel Pennsylvania. Did you hear about this?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The people who own the property feel it would be better to put up a massive office tower with 5 trading floors, which is something that I don't think you even need in this day and age. Everybody does electronic trading, so I don't know what they need 5 trading floors for. But basically, they want to destroy the hotel that's been around since 1918 with all this history, all the big band concerts that have taken place there. They want to just destroy that and put up something that's convenient for executives so they don't have to take the subway downtown. And, of course, that would spell the end of the Hope Conferences. So we're starting a campaign that's going to start slowly but surely. And if you want to be part of it, you can mail us at hotel@2600.com, and we'll put you on a list.
Yeah, I do. There's no other conference centers?
Well, the thing is, there are conference centers, certainly, but New York City is very expensive. And let's put it this way, hotel rooms, whereas you're paying slightly over $100 at an older hotel, which obviously isn't the best in town, but is certainly adequate for our needs, other hotels will be charging on the order of $340 a night for a room. I don't think that's the kind of thing our attendees would be into.
No. How are the people, because I was surprised in Berlin how into everything the conference center was. The food was dirt cheap, the beer was affordable, pretty much no one said a thing. The employees went to do their thing. Seems like the conference could use any space that was available.
Yeah, it's a laid-back German attitude that I like, and that's how it always goes over there, so it's good to see that it's continuing. Listen, sir, we're out of time.
All right.
But thanks so much for calling.
All right.
And hear from you again, and all our listeners. We got a lot of phone calls tonight. Some we couldn't get to. I'm sorry. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. Tomorrow night on Off the Hook, it's a special fundraiser, so get your wallets out, and hopefully we'll do well. We'll see you again here next week for another action-packed edition of Off the Wall. Stay tuned for the blues here on WUSB. Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. Have yourselves a good night. And stay away from those recruiters.
The truth of life is the greatest gift, but I don't think I can make it fit. And who I'm sure.